If you would turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah chapter number 6 this morning, in your copy of God's Word. And as you're turning there, I remember I was a teenager, and it was kind of around COVID, so COVID kind of messed everything up. But I remember I was a teenager, I think it was my senior year of high school, and we went, it was myself, Jason, and one other guy from the church that we were at, Corey Weirs. He's now an assistant pastor out at a church in Oklahoma. And us three, we went to a camp, Camp Kobiak, up in Michigan. And we went there actually with a different church. So we were kind of the oddballs. There was three of us, but we went with this other bigger church group. And we went to this camp. It was a big camp. It was a really fun week, really great week of camp, good preaching. But it's a big camp. There's about 300 or so teenagers there. I mean, talk about big camp games. There was people from, I mean, all kinds of different states, different countries there. It was a really great week of camp. But I remember any good week of camp has some stage games. You know, games up on stage, they could be crazy games, they could be fun games, who knows what kind of games they are. And I remember one night they were having some stage games, and there was eight boys in our cabin. There was the Jason, Corey, and myself, the three of us, we really knew each other, and there was five other boys from this other church that we knew somewhat. And there was eight of us in the cabin, and our camp counselor looked at us with this eager anticipation. He's like, all right, which one of you wants to go up there and play these stage games? And I forget what games they were, but none of us wanted to go up there. I can remember that. And we all just kind of like, we're sitting in our chairs, and we just kind of like, who's going to go? Who's going to go? And our camp counselor's like, one of you's got to go. And we're like, but we really don't want to go. So then what we did, what all good teenage boys do, and we just picked one of them and just started attacking him, said, you're going to go, you're going to go, you're going to go. And he ended up going up. He survived whatever stage games were going on, and then he lived to tell about it, and everything was fine. We had a great week of camp. But here's the point. None of us wanted to volunteer. We're like, no, not me. Choose somebody else. We did not want to volunteer. We voluntold somebody to do something. But this morning, we're going to look at what it means to be a volunteer for Jesus. What it means to be a volunteer for Jesus. Well, what is a volunteer? A volunteer is simply someone who offers themselves for free service to do something. They give of their time, their money, and themselves. The title of the message this morning is A Volunteer for Jesus. A volunteer for Jesus. We must volunteer and be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. This morning, we're going to look at four key events that happen in our Bible account here in Isaiah chapter 6 that will help us understand what a volunteer for Jesus is. Now, really quick, give us a little bit of background of where we are here in Isaiah chapter number 6. You say, who was Isaiah? Well, Isaiah, he was a prophet of God to the southern kingdom of Judah. His name means Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation. He was also, he lived at a time when there was three other Old Testament prophets who were also prophesying and at some point of his ministry, Micah, Hosea, and Amos. They were also prophets at the same time as we find here Isaiah. He was probably about 20 to 25 years old when he receives this vision from God that we're going to look at here in Isaiah chapter number 6. We'll pick up reading in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 1. We'll read a little bit to get the context, and then we'll settle in on verses 8 and 9 this morning. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse number 5, then said I, Isaiah speaking, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse number 8, this is where we're really going to focus in. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now, we've read just a lot there. So what is happening here? So we have in verse number 1, Isaiah here, he sees this vision from the Lord. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. So we have Isaiah who has this heavenly vision, and he gets a glimpse into heaven. He sees the Lord sitting upon his throne. And then we find in verses 2 and 3 about these seraphims that are there. It's just a category of angels. And they're flying around. They're crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In verse number 4, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. It just gives us a picture of the holiness and the righteousness of God in heaven. This just wow moment. And in verse 5, Isaiah's like, with all this stuff going on, I'm sure to him as a man, this was crazy stuff. Like, what in the world is happening? In verse number 5, he said, "Then said I, woe is me," like, wow, I'm undone. I do not deserve to see this. What is happening? He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He's like, "I'm just a sinner. I don't deserve to see all this." And then in verses 6 and 7, we have where one of the seraphims, one of these angels, takes something off the altar and places it on his tongue. It was a purifying process to basically purify Isaiah. And then we get to verse number 8, where we're really going to focus in. I'm going to read verse number 8. So why don't you read that with me? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Let's read that together. The Bible says this: "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." If you would, pray with me really quick, and then we'll get into the meat of the message this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you bless us with. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come into your house today. And I pray that this morning you will help us to understand these truths from your word. And Lord, help us, all of us, Lord, to be a volunteer for you, to do exactly what you would have us to do. Lord, give us understanding hearts to understand your word this morning. Lord, help me as I preach. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, number one, we are going to see God's voice. Number one, God's voice. Look there at the very first part of verse number 8, where it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying." Wow. Isaiah, this prophet of God, gets to hear the Creator's voice. Wow, wouldn't it be something to be Isaiah and hear God's voice? I think that would be really cool to hear the voice of God. Now, God, he doesn't speak to us audibly today, but we have God's Word that speaks to us. We have the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. But here, Isaiah literally got to hear the voice of God. Remember the scene. He's in heaven. He's getting to see all of this, and he hears the voice of the Lord. You know, let me ask you a question. If Isaiah was living in sin and just doing his own thing and, you know, going out to the bars and doing his own thing, would he have saw this? No, I don't think he would have at all. He was a man who was being faithful to God. And as a result, he got to see this incredible sight and got to hear the voice of the Lord. How about you and I? Are we living for God? Could we hear God's voice clearly? Now, Sean, I need your help for something. Could you do me a favor? Could you go to the back of the auditorium, back there to the double doors? I promise this isn't going to hurt you or anything like that. I'm not going to have you come up here and do a stage game or anything like that either. So he's going to go back to the back. Now, I am going to say something to Sean, and I want him to tell me if he can hear me. From all the way there in the back, I'm going to say something and see if he can hear me. Just right there, right there. That's good. Could you hear me, Sean? You can hear me? Why not? Oh, come on a little bit closer. Come about 10 steps closer. Hey, Sean's hearing must be gone. I'll tell you what. I don't know. Can't hear anything. Did you hear me, Sean? Yeah. Come on, Sean. I tell you what, you're hearing. Come on a little closer. Come on. I tell you, after this, you better take him to the hearing doctor. He needs a hearing test. I tell you what. Hey, Sean. Hey, Sean. Are you having a good day? Could you hear me? Sean, come on real close. Come on. I tell you what. This mic must not be working if you can't hear me. Come on. Your hearing's really bad. You got to get real close. Got it real close. Hey, Sean, are you having a good day? Did you hear me that time?
Yep.
You heard me that time? Okay, well, thank you. You may have a seat. All right. He heard me. You can give him a round of applause. So that illustrates something this morning. So many of us, we're so far away from God. We're out living our own lives. We're not reading God's Word. We're watching what we want on TV, ungodly shows, ungodly this, ungodly that. You're scrolling through social media, watching reels or whatever you want, and it's ungodly. And if you will, you're far away from God, and God's up here, if you will, me, trying to get at your attention, say, hey, I want to speak to you. Hey, won't you do this for me? But you're too far away. You can't hear God. And God's speaking to you, but you're so far away from God, you're distant from God in your relationship with him, that it's distant. You're just like, I don't hear anything. And you just keep living your life. And God constantly keeps talking. Said, hey, Sean, won't you listen? Hey, won't you do this for me? Hey, won't you do this? And God is so patient to us. I'm thankful for the patience of God. And he keeps time and time and time again trying to get our attention. And hopefully, we get to the point where, if you will, we get close to God. And we say, you know what, I do want to hear God's voice. I am going to read God's word, and I am going to come to church. And God can speak, and we can hear and listen to what God has to say. Isaiah heard God's voice because he was close to God. The question for you and I, are we close to God? Or are we just out living our own life? You say, well, how do I get close to God? Well, I think the pretty obvious one, you're here today. You're at church. That's the place where the word of God's going forth and God can speak to your hearts. That's a great place to start, is to come to church faithfully. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's a great way to draw close to God. How about whenever you get up in the morning, maybe you grab yourself a cup of coffee and you pick up your old Bible and you just start reading. Now, I'm not saying you got to read 10 chapters a day, but maybe you just read, you know, 5 or 6 verses or maybe a chapter. And you say, God, I really want to hear from you today. I want you to speak to my heart. You can read God's word. That's one way you can get close to God. You can pray to God. You can say, God, I'm really struggling with this. I got this medical test coming up, or I got this medical procedure like Ken on Tuesday. And God, I need your help. Would you help the doctors and nurses? You can pray. It's simply just talking to God like a relationship. Those are some practical ways that we can get close to God. If we are going to hear God's voice clearly, we must be close to God. A lot of times, adults, teens, kids, they get frustrated because, boy, it just seems like God, he's so far away from me. He's so distant. He's just that God up in heaven, and he doesn't want anything to do with me. But I think a lot of times, the fault rests on us. It's our fault, because we're not doing what we need to do to hear God's voice clearly. You know, if I have my phone up here, and I have my phone, my iPhone, I'm an iPhone kind of guy. So if you're an Android or those, you know, God bless you people, but I'm an iPhone kind of guy. And if I had my phone up here, would it just randomly give me directions someplace if I didn't talk to it? No, it wouldn't give me directions. I would have to, you know, either punch in, okay, I need directions to XYZ. I need directions to Elkins, West Virginia. Or, hey Siri, would you give me directions to Elkins, West Virginia? And then boom, it would give me directions. But what I had to speak to it before it, if you will, would speak to me and give me directions. A lot of times that's how it is with God. We need to put in the time, the effort, to try to hear God's voice and to get in God's word and to come to church so then God can speak to us and we can clearly understand what God is saying. The question for you and I, are we close to God this morning? Are we like Isaiah? Isaiah, I can promise you, he was close to God. That's why he heard God's voice. But how about you and I? Are we close to God? A volunteer for Jesus. Number one, we see God's voice. We must hear God's voice clearly. Number two, we see God's question. God's question. If you would, look back at verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying," and then we have this question. God Almighty asks a question. He says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" If you will, notice that word, us. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Notice that's plural. That's poor. We were talking in Sunday school about in creation, how God says, "Let us make man in our image," speaking of the Trinity. Here we have God. It's almost like we have God in heaven. We have God the Father. We have God the Holy Spirit. And we have God the Son, Jesus. And it's like all three of them are there. And it's almost like God the Father is like, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" It's like almost like a roundtable discussion where he's talking amongst God. And you have, again, the three parts of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. He's like, he asks his question, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" He says, who are we going to send for this specific task? Now, did God need somebody, if you will, need somebody to do this task? I mean, he's God. He could have done it. But yet, I'm thankful God chooses to use old sinners like me and old sinners like you to accomplish his task. He could have just spoken and boom, this task would have been done. But yet, he wanted to use Isaiah. May I say, he wants to use you? He wants to use you to accomplish whatever his task. Now, Isaiah's task was a big task. But for you, it may not be a big task. It could be a small task. It could be just simply taking a gospel tract and passing it out to a friend or passing it out to a coworker or something like that. Simply do what God wants you to do. May I say that God is still looking for faithful men of God and faithful women of God who will simply say, you know what? I don't care, big or small. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Before God will use you in big ways, you need to be faithful in the small things, though. Before God, sometimes Christians are like, well, why isn't God using me? I come to church Sunday morning. You know, I got up this morning. I drank some coffee. Maybe even read a little bit in my Bible. Came to church. Came to Sunday school. Came to morning worship. But just, man, it doesn't seem like God used me. I just come here and I'm just filling a pew. That's all I'm doing. Well, maybe you need to volunteer for God. You need to say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do? God here had a question, and Isaiah was listening, and he heard that question. Number one, we see God's voice. Number two, we see God's question. Number three, we see God's man. Number three, we see God's man. Look there at the end of verse number 8. Isaiah hears this question, and now Isaiah, it's his turn. He responds, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" And then we get to this last phrase. If you would say it with me, "Then said I, here am I, send me." Here we find God's man. Isaiah, after hearing God's question, it's like, boom, you couldn't stop him. If he was like the teacher, you ever had those kids maybe in a class, and they're just always ready to, boom, pop their hand up. They want to be the center of attention. They want to be the one to answer questions. It's almost like Isaiah is there, and he hears God talk and says, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And boom, Isaiah is the first one, hand up. He's like, ooh, God, pick me. Here am I, send me. May I say that's what we need today. We need Christians to say, God, whatever you want me to do, big, small, in between, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to volunteer for you. The word send has the idea to let go of or to send away. So Isaiah here, practically speaking, he was like, you know what? You know, I don't know what Isaiah was, you know, before this. Who knows what he was? Maybe he had other dreams. Maybe he's like, well, I'll serve God for a little while, but then I'm going to go do my own thing. Or I'm going to, if you will, start my own business. Or I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to get the nicest car, the nicest this, the nicest that, the nicest camel. Now, the camels, I tell you what, there were some luxury camels back then. Thanks. You know, I don't know what Isaiah's thought process was, but if you will, he let go of that. He let go of, he sent it away. He said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of my thoughts, my desires, my plans, and I'm simply going to serve God. But you know, Samuel, the little boy Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4, said a very similar thing whenever he heard the call of God on his life. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel, and he, speaking of Samuel, answered, "Here am I." It's the same exact wording that's used right here in Isaiah chapter 6. So here we have a couple examples of men of God who simply volunteered and said, "You know what, God, I am going to do whatever you want me to do." It's hard to think, it's hard to believe that people are going back to college already. I can't believe Jason's already down there at college now and getting back in the routine of things and starting classes here in a couple days. And it's hard to believe that, what, about 4 years ago, is it 4 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it is, I'm terrible with math, not really. But 4 years ago, I went down to college and I started. And I remember going down there, but mom and dad, they had to let go of me, if you will, to let me go to college, right? They had to drop me off and they had to release me, to send me away, to let me go. And that was hard for them. It was hard for me. It was really my first time being away from home for a long period of time. But you know what? They had to send me away, kind of give me up. But you know what? That's kind of what Isaiah did here. He kind of, well, he gave up his own life. He said, you know what? I'm going to send my life away, and I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Here am I, God. Send me. Now, if Isaiah here, if he was a normal American Christian in most of our churches today, he probably would have heard God ask this question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he probably would have started making excuses, if we're being honest. He probably would have said, oh, you know what? I'm awful comfortable right now. You know, life's pretty good. Got good health. You know, my kids are close to me. My family's all around. You know, everything's great. I couldn't serve you, God. Do you want me to do what? You want me to help in the ministry? You want me to sing in the choir? You want me to do that? I couldn't do that, God. Or, you know what? I'm really saving up. Lord, I got to get this brand new car. And boy, have you seen the new model years coming out? Boy, it got some new features on it. And man, I really want that. It's going to be good. God, I couldn't give some extra money to missions. Or I couldn't give to help with this project or this. Or the shoes going to overseas. I couldn't give up my money. I couldn't do that. Or God, you know, you want me to be a preacher? You want me to do what? There's no way I could be a preacher. No way, Jose. There's no way I could do that. But you know what? Isaiah, he didn't make excuses. He simply heard what God wanted him to do and just in simple childlike faith said, you know what, God? Here I am. Send me. I'll do it. Whatever it is, I want to serve God. You know, you already may be a doctor, a nurse, a firefighter, police officer, politician, an IT person, a business manager, you name it. But are you willing to give it up if God wants you to? No, God probably wouldn't want you to give up your job or things like that. But are you willing? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? You know, I think of a couple people here locally who's now a pastor. I may not get all the details right, but he had two guys, I believe, the FBI down, you know, just down the road there a little bit. And I'm sure they're making very good money. But God called the man, he was working there at the FBI to preach. And that man, he stopped working there, his wife stopped working there, and he went off and he's now a preacher in our area. just a man of God faithfully preaching the Word of God. It's not a big church, I don't think. It's a pretty small church. But you know what? He gave up, if you will, his comfort, his dreams, his whatever he was planning to simply serve God. What a testimony. He did what God wanted him to do. But get this. It wasn't just like he just volunteered. Get this. Isaiah volunteered to do what God wanted him to do even before he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Get that. Isaiah here, God didn't give him all the instructions. He just said, hey, I have a question. Who's going to go for us? I mean, it could have been to go kill 1,000 Philistines. It could have been to go do this. It could have been to sit down and do nothing for 100 years. You know, I don't know what it was. Isaiah didn't know either, but get it. Isaiah volunteered anyway. He did. You know what? I don't know what the future holds, but you know what? I think God, he knows what's best for me, so I'm simply going to do it. But, you know, so many of us, we got to know all the details. And I'm a details person. I like to have everything planned out. I've been scheduling a lot of my calendars, trying to call Christian schools and trying to set up different Christian school chapels and things. And I'm a detail person. Okay, where am I going to stay? Where is this going to happen? What's going to happen? But you know what, Isaiah, he didn't get all the details from God. He simply just obeyed what God wanted him to do by faith. And may I say, for us Christians, we need to live by faith and say, you know what, God, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what 10 years down the road holds. But God, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to simply obey whatever God wants me to do. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Isaiah here, if you will, he surrendered his life. Question for you and myself. Are we surrendered to God to do whatever God wants us to do? Here's the key. We must be surrendered to God if we are going to please God. We must be surrendered to God if we are going to please God. So many of us, we think, I can do what I want to do. I can live my own life. And God will be okay with it. I'll please God. But in reality, we must be surrendered to do whatever God wants us to do if we are going to please God. Surrender to God is not just a one-time decision where you come to church and you say, oh God, I surrender my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do, whether big or small. Surrender, it's also a daily decision. That every day you wake up and say, you know what, God? I'm going to do what you want me to do today. You know, this past week I went to the dentist. How many of you love the dentist? Raise your hand. Nobody raised your hand. Good, good. I was going to be concerned if some of you raised your hand. I don't think anybody in the right mind really loves the dentist. And I had to go to the dentist this past week. I had had a couple of sealants from when I was a child put in that had kind of popped out. So they were just going to kind of reseal them, refill them a little bit to where it wouldn't create a cavity and things. And I went into the dentist and they were, you know, they were great. There's a couple ladies and they were took out like a little drill to kind of drill a couple things. They were putting some filling stuff in there so where cavities wouldn't come back. And all that. And the whole time they were talking about just grilling and smokers and they were smoking this meat the whole time. And I'm like, are you paying attention to me down here in this little chair? You know, but they did a good job and they were a thing. But I went to the dentist. Now, if I got up one day and just decided that I'm never going to brush my teeth again, do you think my teeth would be healthy? No, they wouldn't be healthy at all. You know what? I made the one-time decision that I want to have clean teeth. But you know what? Every day I have to get up and you know what? I got to brush my teeth, right? If I'm going to have clean teeth. I have to just brush and brush and brush. And at night, I got to brush and brush and brush. And you know, good Lord willing, my teeth will stay clean and be good. Well, it's kind of the same way with surrender. Surrender, it's a one-time decision to God. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But if you will, we got to wake up every day and brush our teeth, spiritually speaking. We got to surrender and say, God, you know what? Today, if you want me to pass out a tract to that guy that I see over at the gas station, well, sure enough, I'll take my car over there and I'll just pass him tract. Say, hey, here's something to tell you about God's love for you. God put you on my heart and give it to him. We got to surrender our lives to the Lord each and every day. We have to daily choose to read our Bibles, to be pure in our thoughts, to avoid sin, to keep God the priority in our lives. You know, whenever we surrender our lives to God, it's not a place of drudgery and, oh, I got to go to church. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, it's a place of joy and a place of happiness where you're just living for God. And no, everything's not going to be perfect. No, everything's not going to go wonderful. But hey, you're living for God. You're doing what God wants you to do. And God blesses you for it. And you have the joy and the peace in your heart. And when I was around 15 years old or so, we went to a youth rally, kind of a tent meeting down in Ripley, West Virginia. It's a big tent meeting. There was probably, I think there was about 500 teenagers there. So it was a pretty big rally. And I remember the preacher got up. He's a big old black man, Kenny Baldwin, who a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, they showed a video there of Kenny Baldwin preaching a little bit. And he was preaching. I remember he was preaching on Jeremiah and the potter's wheel. And Jeremiah, how how Jeremiah was moldable. God, he was the potter, and he was just molding Jeremiah to do exactly what God wanted him to do. And I remember that night that the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart as the preacher was preaching. And I knew that God wanted me to go to Bible college. I didn't know what Bible college, but I just knew that God wanted me to go to Bible college. At this time, I didn't know God had called me to preach or anything like that. I just knew go to Bible college. Maybe it's for a year, maybe it's for 4 years. Who knows? I don't know. But I remember that night, I remember going to the altar and say, Lord, I surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to Bible college, then I'll go to Bible college. I don't know where, I don't know when, but I'm going to go to Bible college. And can I tell you that that decision kind of, if you will, is a springboard to so many other decisions that I have made in my life. And God used that because I simply surrendered my life to the Lord. And then God started to open up doors. After that, I wonder if on this Sunday morning, God is speaking to some of you, telling you you need to surrender and to just be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Maybe you need to surrender your friends to the Lord. Maybe some of your friends are just tearing you down and they're just talking behind your backs or other people's backs and they're just not good friends. They're not Christians. They're not reading God's word. They're just kind of living their life. Maybe you need to surrender your friends to the Lord. Maybe you need to surrender your music to the Lord. Maybe you've just been listening to some ungodly music and you know it's wrong, but you just enjoy it. Well, maybe you need to get rid of your bad music. Maybe you need to surrender your music to the Lord. Maybe you need to surrender your YouTube account or your social media accounts to the Lord and say, Lord, there's a bunch of garbage on here. Would you help me to clean that up? Maybe you need to surrender your dreams of what you want to do and where you want to go and simply do what God wants you to do. Are you willing to be like Isaiah, to be a volunteer for the Lord? Number one, we saw God's voice. Number two, we see God's question. Number three, we see God's man. And number four, and lastly this morning, we see God's calling. We see God's calling. Look there at verse number 9, Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, and he said, this is speaking of God, and he, God, said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. So here we have the commissioning of Isaiah. Isaiah's already volunteered. He's already surrendered to do what God wants him to do. And then that's when God gave him the directions. He said, hey, Isaiah, go. And then he commissions him to do what he wants him to do. God called Isaiah to this specific task. When I talk about the call of God, am I talking about a literal phone call that you get? No, I'm not talking about a literal phone call. We get enough of those. Anyway, I'm talking about that inner voice of the Holy Spirit of God that just tugs on your heart and just convicts you. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God and that God is telling you to do something. That is what the call of God was. Notice this was a God calling. It wasn't a man calling, saying, oh, you really should. I tell you what, Jerry, you really should be doing that. I tell you what, you know that problems we're having here? Jerry, you really should go help out in that ministry. No, it wasn't a, now God can use men to help influence you, but this was a God calling. This was something heavenly and a holy calling of God that God placed upon this man, Isaiah, for the specific task at hand. And may I say that God's got a specific task for you too. Are you willing to do it? May I say that God has a plan for your life? Wow. The God of the universe has a specific plan for your life and for my life. That blows my brain. That God who created everything cares enough about you and cares enough about me to have a specific plan for my life. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, a wonderful verse. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5 says this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God here is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, says, hey, before you even born, I knew you. Before you even born, I had a plan for your life. And may I say today that God has a plan for your life too. You may say, I'm a nobody. I'm insignificant. I'm 70 years old. You know what? I've just been a faithful church member. God surely doesn't have a plan for me. Yes, he does. God has a plan for you. It may be to simply call up some of your old friends and say, hey, you know what? I know we've been friends. We went to school 50 years ago. But you know what? I never told you about Jesus. I never told you what he's done for me. Hey, God, or hey, friend, you know what? Jesus, he can save your soul and just go through the gospel. It could be something as simple as that. But God has a plan for your life. You impact more people. You know what? I have a pretty small sphere of influence. I impact, say 50 people I influence. But hey, you impact 50 people. And I guarantee you, probably a lot of them is a different 50 people. And you know what? That other person, they impacted another 50 different people. But you know what? Are you impacting those with the gospel? Or are you just good friends with them? Are you telling them, hey, you know what? The gospel can change your life. Jesus can change your life. Maybe that's God's plan for you. I don't know what it is. God has a specific plan for each of us. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the most gifted to do something for God. Simply give God whatever you've got. Because, hey, he's the God who created you. He knows you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he has a plan for you. Let me tell you how the call of God kind of worked in my life. I remember it was one morning. It was a hot summer day, and I remember mom and dad. They've heard the story a fair amount. They're probably almost memorized it by now. But it was a hot summer day, and we were at Papaw's, and we had a lot of grass to cut. I mean, a lot of grass. And it was hot, and I must have slept in. I think it was a Saturday. I must have slept in, and I woke up, and like everybody else was already gone. They were either out working, or you know, maybe downstairs eating breakfast. You know, I don't know what happened, but I must have been the lazy one that day because I was sleeping in or something. And I remember getting up. I remember getting all my clothes and just getting ready. Let's go work for the day. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, Ryan, you haven't spent time with me in my word today." And I was like, "Yeah, Lord, I know, but I can work, and then I'll do it later." And the Holy Spirit's like, "But I want you to spend time with me now." And I'm like, "But I got a lot of work to do. Everybody's already out working." And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you need to spend some time with me in my word." So I was like, "Yeah, Lord, you're right. You're right, I do." So remember, I just jumped up back in bed, pulled out my Bible, and I was reading. And I got to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14, just where I was reading. And that verse says, "How then shall I call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And I remember it was that day when the Holy Spirit of God, boom, put it on my heart. Just, hey, you're that preacher. You're that guy who needs to stand before God's people and share God's word. I remember that distinctly. But I often wonder, what would have happened if I never would have gotten God's word that day? You know, maybe it would have been a month later, 2 months later, 6 months later that God called me to preach. What would have happened if I wouldn't have taken that time out to get in God's word that day? What would have happened? I don't know. I know God would have probably called me later, but I'm thankful that I made the choice to spend some time with God, and God spoke to my heart. That's how the call of God worked in my heart. I was just simply going about my day, doing what I knew to do was right, getting God's word, and that's when God spoke to my heart. It could be the same for you, where you're just living your life, going day by day, and you just pick up your Bible one day, and boom, a verse just, if you will, hops off the page and speaks to your heart, says, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to do that. God has a plan for your life, but are we willing to volunteer? Fear pushed up inside the missionary as he walked along the banks of the Susquehanna River in the Pennsylvania colony. It was early 1744, 32 years before the 13 colonies joined and became the United States of America. David Brainerd knew he was the only white man for miles around, and he was walking in dangerous Indian territory. Now, this man, David Brainerd, he was born April 20th, 1718, in Haddam, Connecticut. And at 21 years old, this David, he got saved. And praise the Lord, he got saved at 21 years old. Well, on April 20th, his 24th birthday, so 3 years after he got saved, Brainerd wrote this. He said, "I hardly ever so long to live to God and to be altogether devoted to him. I wanted to wear out my life in his service and for his glory." So at the age of 24 here, it sounds like David Brainerd surrendered his life. He said, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And for David specifically, it was to be a preacher, to be a missionary. And David surrendered to do what God wanted him to do. Well, kind of back to our story now. David Brainerd knew he was the only white man for miles around, and he was walking in Indian territory. Half an hour ago, he saw a distant Indian village. He knew stories about how the Indians had killed men like him before. But here in this spot, their birds were chirping in the treetops above them. Beavers were flipping in and out of those small streams that were around. And he was there, and he decided, "I'm going to stay the night right here," about a half an hour or so, or half a mile, excuse me, from the Indian village. So what he did is he took off his pack, and it says that he took out his Bible and a pen and a notebook. And he started reading God's word. And then he got down on his knees and started to pray to God and was just praying, you know, "God, would you help me to reach these Indians with the gospel? Would you help me in this?" And, you know, I don't know what all he prayed. But little did he know, there was a rattlesnake that was really close to him, really close to him. He didn't know it at all. And this rattlesnake was there, but he didn't know it. Well, the next day he got up and he started to go into the village. Now, he was scared, kind of left you with a cliffhanger there. You know, what's going to happen with the rattlesnake? Well, the next day he got up and he goes into the village. And the people, the Indians, they just accept him right off, just like nothing happened. They're like, "You white man," you know, they just started talking. And come to find out, David Brainerd, he spent a long time there. And it often puzzled him, why were the Indians so kind to me? What happened? And he asked a little boy one day, he said, "Why did you accept me so easily? Like, what was it?" He said, "Well, you didn't know this, but whenever you were a little while away from our village, we saw you. That night when you camped out. And we saw you with your Bible open, with that notebook and pen, and we saw you on your knees praying to God. But you didn't know there was a little rattlesnake right next to you that you didn't see. And that rattlesnake was about ready to strike you, when all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, it just slithered on off. And they said, we knew that you must have been from God. Wow. If that there doesn't show you the protection of God, I don't know what does. David Brainerd simply surrendered his life to God, and God protected him, and God used him, and that's not the rest of the story. The rest of that story is that whole village got saved. And praise God, they got saved and miraculously changed, and who knows what God did with that village. But I know it was good, and all because one man simply surrendered his life, and God protected him that day. That rattlesnake could have bit him, and that would have been the end of David Brainerd. But you know what? God, in his mercy, said, you know what? Snake, go on away. The Indians saw that and they realized, hey, there's something different about this guy, because a normal snake would have just bitten him and gone on with it. But he must have God with him. And as a result of simply David Brainerd surrendering his life, God used him to turn a whole Indian village around. Just because a simple 24-year-old boy said, you know what, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to wear out my service for God. But how about you and I? Are we willing to do the big things if God calls? But how about the small things? How about just coming back to church tonight? How about just picking up your Bible tomorrow morning when you're tired before work and maybe getting up 15 minutes earlier and just reading just a portion out of God's Word? Say, God, would you give me something today? I need you to help me. A volunteer for Jesus. Isaiah simply volunteered to do whatever God wanted him to do. And God used him. God can use you too. Will you simply surrender your life to the Lord? Let's pray and then we'll have an invitation song. Father, I love and thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to preach this morning. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Isaiah and for his example of just, Lord, how he was surrendered to do whatever you wanted him to do. And I pray, Father, that you'll help each one of us, myself included, to simply know what you want us to do, to hear your voice, to be close to God, to where we can even hear your voice. And then whenever you speak, to simply volunteer, say, God, I don't know what may be tomorrow. I don't know what all this entails, but I'm simply going to serve you. I'm going to give you everything I've got. And God, I know that you will take that and use it for your honor, for your glory, Lord. We love and thank you in Jesus' name.